This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Van der Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions! Milinkovic-Savic! With a belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
Little push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Serbian Football Show on FNR. This is your host, Miller, speaking. Hope everybody's doing well and hope everybody's ready for another action-packed week of crazy Serbian football. This week, as every other week, we're joined by a couple of special guests to help us talk about all the topics that are happening currently. First, we have our man Luca from Washington, D.C. Luca, how's it going this week for you?
Hey, man. I'm going well. Enjoying the NBA free agency. It's like a circus, but it's going well, dude.
NBA free agency, nothing like it.
All right.
Ogie, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing well, everyone. Doing well. It's nice that club football is finally getting underway, you know. There's this dry period where all you have to watch is the Women's World Cup and the Gold Cup. So happy to have Champions League and Europa League qualifiers back at least.
Yes, and congratulations to Mexico for winning the Gold Cup. That was great. And Alex, joining us all the way from Belgrade. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Quite free. I've been feeling really well. I'm excited to go back to coefficients and calculations and praying that we, you know, all our clubs avoid the big fishes in the Champions League and Europa League, and waiting for those August matches to go with my buddies. And it's an exciting time. It's a stressful time, but certainly exciting.
Yes, and let's just get right into it. Alex, I know you haven't been on the last couple shows due to exams and stuff like that, but I know you're eager to talk about Tumbaković and his appointment as the new national team manager. So just before we start the show, I'll let you go for a bit and give your thoughts on that, because I know you've been dying to say something on that topic.
Well, you guys covered it pretty well. I don't think my absence was particularly noticeable in the last couple shows, and that was good to hear. Obviously, when you compare what we have, anybody with a coaching license would have been Jose Mourinho in living color. So it is an improvement, certainly. I don't have the confidence. I think the way he left the Montenegro job, it was a pretty bad way. I mean, he knew 6 months in advance what he was walking into and what he was dealing with, and to just, you know, get up and leave 2-3 hours before the game, regardless of whether it was because of outside pressure or his own personal decision, that was a red flag. I think the fact that he said for a long time that he didn't really expect to get the job and he didn't think anything was going to come of it, and then we hear that they were talking right after the Ukraine game ended. So there's immediately a lack of connection and a lack of trust, which doesn't bode well for their attempt to recruit guys like Luka Milivojević and Nastasic and others back into the team. What the good things are, certainly, is that I think we have somebody who has experience, and we've always done well with that. I think that for the first time, the thing that's going to be positive from a tactical sense is that under our previous manager, the initial preparation of the game plan for most matches was actually all right. The problem was when that plan A flew out the window, and when we got figured out, we didn't have a plan B and we didn't make reasonable subs. Under Tumbaković, I don't think we're going to see subs like Radonjić coming on for Milivojević or, you know, Nemanja Miletić coming on for Rukavina when we have a man advantage. You know, I think we're going to see reasonable subs. We're going to have more variations of how we're going to play. We could have gotten worse. Like I tweeted before, there were five guys that have taken this job that had a worse CV or no CV, whereas Tumbaković does have more than 10 trophies in his career, and you don't win them by accident. And we can go on and on analyze. I don't want to take it away. It's an improvement, but is that really saying much considering where we are and what we're expecting? My answer is no. So I'm optimistic, but I'm realistic in the expectation that we're probably going to have to wait until March in the League of Nations playoff to really get a confirmation of where we are.
Good points, Alexa. Feel pretty much the same way as you do as well on that topic. So now let's get to the news of the week. I think we were all expecting some movements from our players, but the most surprising ones have been the players have decided to stay put, most notably Aleksandar Mitrović extending his contract until 2024 with Fulham. So he will be in the championship next season. He got quite a raise as well, as reports say, in his new deal. So congrats to him and his family. I'm sure that'll be nice for them. I think we were all kind of hoping that he would go to maybe another Premier League club, maybe Crystal Palace, or even tries like in another top five league. But he's back in the championship. He should do well there. What are your thoughts, Luke, on this move for him? Do you think it's the right choice, or are you kind of disappointed?
Yeah, I don't like it, man, to be honest. I'm pretty disappointed. I think he's way too good to be playing in the championship as a striker. I mean, obviously, we all know his talent, just playing for a Serbian national team, scoring goals left and right. But, yeah, man, staying with Fulham, who is a team in complete disarray, who had, what, three different coaches last season, who doesn't seem to have any direction right now. Not a good choice in my opinion, man. And like you said, we would have loved to see him prove his worth in another team in one of the top five leagues, because we know he can do it. And ideally, I wanted to see him hop over to another Premier League team and stay in the Premier League, because I think his style of play really suits the Premier League. So yeah, man, I gotta say I'm disappointed with this. I really was expecting a big move for him.
I can't disagree with you. I get it. He's pretty comfortable in London, living there with his family. He has had quite a bit of moves in his career, and he's still a young guy. So I get it from that standpoint. But it would just be great to see him at a tougher league, because I think we all know what he can do in the championship. He showed last year what he can do in the championship, right? When he came at the end of the season, he dominated. So it would be nice if he would have been a lot better, in my opinion, if he moved. But I guess he feels comfortable there, so you can't fault him for that. Bogey, where do you stand on this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I have to admit, my initial reaction was that I was quite surprised. He scored 11 goals in the Premier League last year. He has a good goal-scoring record for Serbia. He's an established international player. There was reported interest from Tottenham, from Everton, from Crystal Palace, and you quite frankly thought that he'd make that move. But I guess when you kind of dig a little bit deeper, two things stand out. One is that he really listened to his family, I think, and clearly he settled into the club. And I watched an interview where he said that he's happy at Fulham. His family have gotten used to living there. Milivojevic is nearby, of course, with Palace. I know they're close family friends, so it just seems as though that really like factored in heavily into his decision, just the familiarity and wanting to stay there in a familiar setting. Here's the one. Here's maybe why I'm not as pessimistic about it as Luca. Yeah, he is going back down to the championship, and there aren't, as we know, there aren't too many world-class players in the championship. Like Mitrovic will probably be one of the more recognized names in the championship, but surprisingly, Fulham, they're still investing into the squad. A few players have left. Babel, Shurla, we know Lazar Markovic left, but aside from that, they've held on to a lot of their main guys. Tom Kearney, their captain, re-signed. And the majority of their other kind of main players will be coming back next year as well. And when we kind of look at the championship, the two other teams that got relegated, Cardiff and Huddersfield, now they've sold off a lot of players. So realistically looking at it, I think Fulham will enter this season as probably the favorites to get back up and promoted. From that perspective, yeah, it is kind of a downgrade to play in the championship for 1 year, but let's also remember that there were rumors circulating that he was heading to China, okay? And I'd much rather he spend a year in the championship with a strong possibility of returning to the Premier League than moving over to China. So, I mean, I'm a little bit more optimistic. Fulham has a very wealthy owner, Shahid Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. He's clearly ready to splash the cash and continue investing in the club, and I think that they'll get promoted next year. Mitrovic will be back in the Premier League where he belongs.
Yeah, and Well, congratulations to Marko Anatovic for getting that China money that we thought he was going to get. So good on him. I'm sure he's going to enjoy it and have a good time over there and be back in Europe in no time. But you are right. Head into the season, I would say that Fulham and Leeds are the two top favorites for promotion. And I would expect Fulham, with the squad they've kept, I would expect them to be right in the battle for it, and they should be back up in the Premier League in no time. Alex, are you disappointed, or was this expected for you?
While it's a mixture of multiple things, look, the transfer window is one of the most unpredictable things in sports, and who's to say that maybe this contract signing isn't a potential increase in price? You know, they did pay a lot of money for him. They paid over $20 million, and maybe if they do want to get rid of him, maybe this is just a kind of a notice to other teams that they have to pay more, which I don't think it is. I think that he's there to stay. I think that there's a severe understatement of the championship, which always annoys me because it's most certainly the best second division, which maybe sounds kind of a backhanded compliment, but it's more competitive and I think more talented than, you know, the Belgian league, the Russian league, the Turkish league. The money that's there is better, bigger than most leagues. And I think that this people are looking at it saying, well, he's kind of washed up and his value maybe isn't the same what it used to be. You know, what he's managed to do in the two seasons he's been in the Premier League, when you consider the complete lack of organization, the chaos, the backwards tactics, he's scored more than 20 goals in two seasons. He's had double-digit seasons both times. And his value for the national team is still going to be high. You know, I don't think not playing in a big club prevented anyone from being great. You know, Vladimir Stojkovic was one of our best players for a long time when he wasn't in a big club or when he didn't have a club. And the same goes for, you know, Alexis Sashelich and a couple other guys. So I think for the national team, his value is still going to be fine. I think that he's going to be more motivated to prove himself in the championship. He's going to score goals. And I expect him quite soon to come back. He's only 24, I think. So I'm not concerned about his future at all. And to be honest, it doesn't matter what talent he has or what he doesn't have, because he has the heart of a lion. And I wish that there were other guys in the team that are playing in much bigger clubs, you know, that had his heart. Maybe we wouldn't be as bad as we are right now in the qualifiers. So I'm not concerned about him at all. I think that, you know, you can live in worse places than London. So I'm happy for him. Whatever decision he makes is fine with me. I have the utmost confidence that he's going to be great, and I expect him to see him back in the Premier League very soon. And if he really matures as a player, then I think that he could score even more than what he has already.
Yeah, and speaking of guys staying in familiar situations for their families, Dusan Tadic as well has extended his contract with Ajax until 2026. The last couple years of that deal will be him transitioning into a coaching role within the youth ranks. So Tadic has clearly decided on a career path for himself, and it's no surprise that he's a great guy, serious guy, and this doesn't surprise me at all that he's taken these amazing steps to getting a head start and a good start on his next career as well. And, you know, hopefully one day he's our national team coach. I already like him more than Krstajic, so I'm sure he won't be able to do any worse job going forward. Luka, what are your thoughts on Tadic staying with Ajax? Did you expect this, or were you thinking that he'd make one shot at a big club before retirement?
Yeah, man, I be honest with you, I was expecting this, and this is completely on the other side of the spectrum from the Mitrovic situation for me. I actually love this a lot, man. We all know Tadic. We all know what he can do on the field. We all know he's a very technical player, and it's great for him to be in a technical club that has produced so many great technical players like Ajax, and especially now that he's got his future carved out for him. Like you said, man, very interesting to see what happens once he transitions into that other role after he's done playing. But overall, man, I'm very happy for him. I think Ajax feels like home for him, and that's why he decided to make the move. And just looking at it from the outside, it feels like he belongs there, which is the most important thing. And he's happy. He's playing his version of football. He's playing his game. And yeah, man, I'm just ecstatic about this extension.
I agree with you. I think they can make another good Champions League run. They lost some players, but they also brought in some good reinforcements as well. So I'm excited to watch Ajax again this season. What are your thoughts on Tadic for next season and going forward with his career?
Well, what I'll say first is that, I mean, when I saw a seven-year contract and until 2026, I mean, I thought it was a misprint. You don't see these kinds of things. You see these kind of things in baseball. That's really the only sport you see these monster contracts in. So that kind of caught me off guard. But really, I'm not surprised. Like Mitro, fans in Ajax absolutely adore him. He's kind of become a cult figure there. He's adored by the fans. And, yeah, he's familiar with the setting. Before Southampton, he spent quite a bit of time in Holland. So clearly, you know, his family is settled in there. And in an interview, he said that, you know, he's 31 years old. There's absolutely no reason for him to change clubs. which makes sense for me. You know, he's content. He's coming off of the best professional season of his life. And when we talked about this in earlier podcasts, I think we all agreed that we're okay with him staying, but the caveat was, of course, that Ajax stays competitive. And I mean, surely we've seen that. I mean, really, they've only lost thus far. Frankie de Jong has gone to Barcelona. They've lost their backup left back to Leverkusen. And De Ligt is linked to heavily linked to Juve these days. So really, they've only lost two main players. David Neres has confirmed that he'll stay. Guys like Van de Beek, Tagliafico, Ziyech, they're all expected back. And Milos, as you mentioned, they've invested. Obviously, they made quite a bit of money last year, so they've invested in the squad too. Quincy Promise is a big signing from Sevilla. Brought in a couple young center backs that kind of provide cover if De Ligt does decide to leave. So all in all, I mean, I think it's great both for Tadic and for Ajax. It's refreshing because for a long time Ajax was basically just known as an academy club where they bring up young players. You know, once they establish themselves, they sell them off. So the fact that they had success last year and now they're ready to have, you know, continued success and they're investing in the club and holding on to players, I think it's nice. I think it's refreshing, and I think it's ultimately going to be good for both Tadic and the club.
No doubt about that one. And Alexa, how do you see this move for Tadic? Are you happy for him? Well, I'm definitely happy for him. I'm sure you are as well. But 7 years, not bad. Some good guaranteed money right there, right?
Netherlands is a wonderful place to live, and he deserves every penny he got. I'm sad that they didn't give him more years because he's worth it. Can I just say, when you talk about the Champions League run, Ajax being in the qualifiers sucks. They need to change the system. I don't understand how the Dutch champions and a club like Ajax, who should really have a wild card to the Champions League, has to go through the qualifiers, and then you got clubs from Russia, Turkey, and everywhere. They get the qualified direct. You know, it was an end going through, but we'll talk about that in another moment. You know, he's still, I think, somebody whose mind is one of a kind, and physically he looks fit. The signing of Quincy Promise is wonderful because unlike Ziyech and Neres, who are selfish, who don't have the X button on their joystick, you know, Quincy Promise is a complete player, and Ajax is always going to have new guys coming in. I think that now that they've established themselves as a big club, I think the fear factor is back, and I think he's going to be rotated a little bit more because he played a lot of minutes last year. I think he played in almost every match, and that certainly leaves a physical taxing impact on his body. He's going to be rotated more. He's going to be chilling more. I still think they're going to be very dangerous. I mean, Ten Hag has kept the core of the team there. And for him, he knows the Eredivisie like his back pocket. His family loves it. The fans love him. He's one of the most creative players at his position in the world. And that's been proven by last year, not just because we've hyped him up. So, yeah, I mean, talking about him in superlatives only, I'm very happy for him. Very happy.
And now let's move on to the biggest and the most famous Serbian transfer of the week. 21-year-old striker Ivan Šapunić signing for Atletico Madrid.
I did not think I would be saying that sentence like 3 days ago. I thought we'd hear a lot of things. That was like the last thing. That seems like one of those random FIFA transfers when you're playing career mode.
Is there another Ivan Šapunić that we don't know about that's mysteriously
It's his twin brother that was left in New Zealand. The imposter was in Benfica B. They've got the guy back from New Zealand. He's come in. I don't know.
I think we all saw this coming from his amazing play at Benfica B, as well as those three or four missed one-on-ones at the Under-20 World Cup, where he could have put the game away, and he made us stress for another hour. People are speculating that this is, he shares an agent of Jan Oblak, and this is like a favor to the agent or whatnot. Who knows, but I'm happy for him. He seems like a good guy, hardworking guy, and I'm happy that he can add this to his Tinder profile, impress the ladies with, being an Atletico Madrid player. Can't hurt. I know that you're a Partizan fan, so you're a bit more familiar with Šapunić. How did you take this news, and do you think he has any hope of getting playing time there?
Well, look, I think the part that was very unfortunate for me is I would take it back, if you remember the Europa League campaign that Partizan had when he nearly got through in 2015-16. He was one of the members of that squad, and he scored a couple big goals in the Champions League qualifiers. I was kind of basically done with him at that point, because at that time, Partizan changed three managers in 11 months. They had Marko Nikolic, Soki Milinkovic, and Ljubi Kondrulovic, and Šapunić got no minutes. when his competition was Valery Pozhinov and Abubakar Amaru. And when you can't beat those guys out, it's hard for me to expect anything. Now, his eye for goal and for movement in the box for a kid that was that young was impressive, because his physical or lack of physical preparation and lack of physical stamina was apparent. But you could see that the guy knows where to put his head. He knows how to extend his foot and put the ball in the back of the net. I hope that in Atletico they see something that we don't. I mean, I don't think Atletico is one of those clubs that just signs players for, you know, just because they want to take a gamble. It's only $500,000. If he physically works his body up, you know, I said the same thing about Luka Jovic when he was buried in Benfica. If he can just fix his head and if he can, you know, work and fix his body and fix his mentality, I don't see why Shapanich can't do, you know, something and have some sort of value, even if he gets loaned out to a smaller club. And maybe he plays. I mean, Alvaro Morata is your competition, so you got a chance always when that's the case. And we'll see. I hope that he does well. You know, he's one of the really, really nice guys, the young kids that hasn't really gotten a chance. Like I said, I hope that they saw something in him that we didn't, and I wish him nothing but the best. You know, you can't fault the guy for going to a big club and getting his money. That's something that we would all do, and I'm happy for him.
Yes, and wow, it's very, very surprising. Now, I've read some reports saying that he was brought in as the replacement for Nikola Kalinic.
Yeah.
Ogi, do you believe that is true, my friend?
No, I don't. And quite frankly, to continue with the baseball analogies, I mean, this one came straight out of left field. What I will say is that...
You're on fire tonight. You're on fire tonight.
Kudos to Benfica, boys. Jesus Christ. I mean, I've heard that they sold Shapuch for $8 million. I mean, holy... Like, Benfica's become the new... They've become the Ajax of the 90s.
That was them trying to fix the Jovic mistake. They sold Jovic for peanuts, and now they've sold somebody for, like, huge money. So that's kind of like, you know...
Joao Souza also to Atletico Madrid for a record $137 million. So it's literally the Ajax of the 90s. Just a powerhouse academy. They bring in players, they develop them, they sell them. I mean, I'd love to be the chairman of that team, let me tell you. But so aside from that, I mean, look, Kimo Shapunj is 21 years old. He's spent the past few years with Benfica B. He was on loan in Belgium with Zul Tevaregem. He didn't impress this past summer. In fact, he only played in the final game, so God knows what Atletico Madrid saw in him. Assuming Griezmann leaves to Barcelona, Shapunch is going to be competing with Morata, Diego Costa, and Joao Felix. Really, he doesn't belong in the same breath as those players. The best guess, frankly, boys, it's difficult to see what Atletico Madrid sees in him. It's way, way too big of a leap. I assume that they're going to loan him out, and they're just going to take a swing and see, you know, how things work out. Maybe they loan him out to a team in the second division of Spain and kind of see if he develops, and then, you know, maybe in a year or two he'll be ready to play for Atletico Madrid. But really, what's there to say? I mean, this is just way too much, way too soon. Not much else to say. Like I said, it's a shocker. For him, look, his wages are going to go up by a ridiculous amount. He's gonna cash in, but you know, for his career trajectory, you gotta wonder what this means and if it's the right decision or not.
Yeah, his wages and his Instagram posts are definitely going to go through the roof after this signing. No doubt. Luca, are you with these guys, or do you have more faith in Yang Yivan to surprise us and get some minutes and get some goals for Atletico?
Hey, man, I hope his play surprises us at Atletico or wherever he's loaned out to, just like this transfer surprised all of us. All I got to say is, man, look, obviously out of nowhere this came, and it can only be positive. Like, if he's a bust, if he doesn't get any playing time, if he's a total unknown at Atletico, we're all expecting that already, given his play and given the stature of the club. But if he actually does score a couple of goals here and there, you know, we'll all be pleasantly surprised. So I'm just looking at it as it can only be a good thing. And he can surprise us. Also, from a confidence standpoint, when somebody like a big club like Atletico signs you, that's got to do something to boost you, especially for a striker. Boost your mentality. So hopefully there's something there, and he can turn his young career around.
Yeah, and I've always wanted, you know, I love Atletico's kit, and I always wanted a nice one with a Serbian player on the back, but I never imagined that it would be Shapunj. that would be the name on the back of that jersey. I think I'm gonna hold off on that one for a little bit longer. Maybe somebody else will go there and I can get that jersey. Yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up.
I have a wild theory, considering Radomir Antic was very popular, considering he's a diehard Partizan fan, maybe he kind of took a peek and said, hey, why not, you know, take a chance at this kid. That's the only thing that comes to my mind. I mean, I'm beat.
Could be. Yeah, let's switch gears. Now, actually, you know, Matic, too, I think it was announced today that Matic would be staying at Manchester United. I think that was pretty surprising. He was training. Herrera left. Herrera is now Atletico Madrid, I believe, as well. So I guess that kind of takes one competition away for Matic. But the way last season ended for him, it's hard to see him getting a spot there. I never count him out. I know we all know he's a hard worker. He's a really good player, and he's got a lot of experience. So I think he definitely adds something to the squad. But just the way that things ended last season and how he lost his spot in the team, it's going to be very tough, in my opinion, if his staying is true, for him to actually get some minutes and get a spot on the team. Alex, are you thinking Matic will be able to get a spot back, or would you prefer for him to actually leave?
Well, I don't know if I prefer him to leave. I think United are in a complete disastrous state right now because they're more interested in signing marketing players for Instagram rather than their talent on the pitch. But, look, he's had a very, very intense couple seasons, you know, not just in terms of when they were winning, when he was winning for Chelsea and Benfica, and when United were doing really well. Even the seasons when his clubs were struggling, you know, he had a whole falling out with Jose Mourinho, twice over, you know, Solskjaer coming in last year, he's had injury problems. I think it was only natural for him to kind of have a slump, but I think he's going to be back. You know, he hasn't played for the national team. I think he's needed this time to clear his head, and I absolutely believe in his heart and his psychological preparation is top-notch. He never leaves the pitch without giving his maximum, so we'll see. I think that he's one of the better players United have right now because he's at least consistent. You know what you're getting out of him. Everyone else in United, for the most part, is a jack-in-the-box, and I think Solskjaer recognizes that, and I think he's going to give him time. Ada Herrera leaving is a bit of a shame because him and Matic worked well in the double pivot, but I think he's going to do well. You know, if there were clubs that would have signed him for sure, and he could have been very useful, but we'll see. I think individually it's important for him to play well. I think he doesn't really need to chase trophies. He's won so many in his career, so I'm happy for him. I'm happy. I hope he comes back. His head is clear, and I think he's going to do well.
And he may be playing for SMS next season as the Sergei to United rumors are back. I don't even know.
For the 174th.
Yeah. We talk about Sergei every week with a different club. This saga just seems like it's never going to end. Hopefully it does end. Hopefully it doesn't take till the deadline day for this to end, because it really just move already, man. Just pick a spot and go there. United would be good. Luka, what do you think? Do you see Matic and Sergei playing for United next season, or will they both be gone, or will they both not be there when the season kicks around, comes?
Yeah, man, I honestly have no idea where Sergei is going or if he's staying put, because I don't think anybody does. I don't think even Sergei knows what's going on. He just seen the different stories flying around. But as far as Matic is concerned, staying at United, man, I gotta disagree a little bit with Alexa here. I don't like that move, man, just because that club is in a free fall. It's probably spiraling out of control, you know. It seems like every season is just worse and worse for them. And there's all these personalities popping up on the pitch, off the pitch. Everybody's got something to say about the club because it is in such a dire state. So I don't like that environment for Matic. I think he should have moved to a more stable club where he can play his stable brand of football. But yeah, man, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But at the moment, I gotta say, I hope that if the rumors are true at all, that Sergei is going to Manchester, that it doesn't happen, just because the club is in such a sad state.
Yeah, a club like that, it's tough to see, but I think they'll be fine eventually. And now rumors of Vidic coming over and taking over their youth team as a coach, that'll fix up a lot of the morale there, and you know, hopefully maybe one day he'll be the new manager. Would not doubt that at all. He definitely has that personality to be a hard ass strong manager, and I definitely see that happening in his future. Now let's talk about some European football. Today was the start of Champions League qualifying in the first round. Cimezeta took on Sudaba from Lithuania. It was an away match and ended 0-0. Zvezda were, of course, heavy favorites, but they were unable to get a goal past the hosts. And surprisingly, the hosts had the two best chances of the game, actually, which is not what Zvezda fans want to hear after you know, hopes last season in hopes of making the Champions League again. What are your thoughts on today and Zvezda's campaign? Is this something to be worried about, or is it just the rust because it's the first game?
It's all rust. I'm not worried at all. I mean, this is the first competitive match that these players have played. If we actually rewind back to last year, it was almost identical. So the first competitive game of the season was in Latvia against Spartak Cionola, and it's 0-0. And we know how their Champions League campaign ended up. They obviously won the second leg and then progressed and things worked out. So I'm not concerned at all. I mean, as expected, Suduva defended quite compactly today. As for Zvezda, I think the team looked fine. It's for the majority, it's the same squad as last year. Of the new guys, Joao Cañas came on in the second half. We didn't see Tomane, but other than that, you know, it's a lot of the same players. Obviously disappointing result when you draw against the Minnow, but when we factor in that it was their first match, that a lot of these guys probably just came back from vacation and are slowly starting to get back in shape. I'm not too worried. I mean, I think things are gonna work out.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one. Not a good performance, and to be honest, it hasn't really done that well in the preparation games either. But as you mentioned, they are a team that is pretty familiar with each other. They brought in a couple good reinforcements, so I do expect them to have another strong run at the Champions League. But it all depends on the draw. If they draw someone really, really difficult, there's not much you can do. no matter how cohesive you are, sometimes the gap
exactly. And last year they got a little bit fortunate because in the playoff round they drew Red Bull Salzburg, who had kind of a down year last year. And you know, looking back at the draw, they easily could have gotten Ajax or Benfica or PSV. So you know, at that point in time, it comes down to a lot of luck. So I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we just have to be lucky again, basically, no matter what, how well the team's playing, they will need luck again with the way that qualifying is set up under the new format that FIFA changed, the UEFA changed a couple years ago. Alexa, do you think Zvezda fans should be optimistic after today, or are you still expecting them to show strongly in Europe this year?
Well, I'm expecting them, to show strongly. As far as the game today, I think it was proven that what this team really lacks is some pace down the wings. Even Ismarin and Ben as the front, as the three behind the striker, they keep going in the middle and against the team that's parking the bus with five at the back. That's not really going to work. They probably could have had a penalty. Wasn't impressive what I saw from Cañas for the little bit he was on the pitch. Jovanović looked really good. Marko Marin looks as good as ever. But Suduva, I mean, if Nemanja Radonjić can beat you single-handedly like they did last year, you know, I'm not worried at all. As far as the remainder of the qualifiers, I think because of the negative atmosphere that surrounded the club, because of the way the last season in the Super League ended, they lost to Partizan in the Cup, they didn't really play convincingly at the end of the year, some of the transfers, with Popcock staying or going, and but especially the sales of Jovanović and Terzić, people are maybe kind of down. I think you shouldn't expect the Champions League, but I think it's realistic. When they skip past Suduva, Helsinki is probably the best club that they could have drawn because it's a club that is a recognizable name, so they're not going to take it easy, but it's a club that has no recent European integrity. They've been eliminated by Olympia and Shkendi in the last few years, and they've got a lot of holes in the way they play, so Zvezda should pick them apart. The rest of the teams, apart from Ajax, I think everyone's beatable. Celtic is not as good as they were last year because they don't have Brendan Rodgers. Plus, Rangers has gotten serious in the Scottish League, so that's going to be an additional obligation for them. Dinamo Zagreb, I think, would be a great match in a football sense. I wouldn't want to see that happen because of politics, but in a vacuum, I think that Zvezda could beat them because they're organized at the back, and if need be, they can play attacking football. Dinamo hasn't proven that they can defend. They've proven that they can score, but they haven't proven that they can defend consistently. Copenhagen is really, really hard because they're kind of like Spartak Trnava was last year, except they're more experienced, they're more talented. They have guys like Victor Fischer, Robert Skål, Vezeca. They've got a good home crowd. You know, they're tough. But they're not a team that's a free-flowing side and they can be beaten. And Bate Borisov and Astana, if Zvezda has serious ambitions, they should beat those teams. I think that period. Ajax, like I said, is a little bit too strong.
Astana, that's Rukavina. They're not.
No, I love Tony Rukavina, but he's one man. He's many things, but he's not 11 people. Maybe he is in an alternate universe. But that's the only thing that I look at. I think Europa League should still be very happy with it, because I think this year in the Europa League, if they get there, they can do something serious. In the Champions League, I hope that they get in. They did have luck last year in terms of the way things went. They should have played Apoel in the first round. They ended up going up against Suduva. But they drew Salzburg, who was a Europa League semifinalist, and they ended up winning every game in the Europa League group last year. So they went up against a really good team. I don't think there's a team like that apart from Ajax in these qualifiers, because when you look at the past qualifiers, you had Ajax, you had Salzburg, you had Benfica, you had like three teams that were really, really dangerous. Here, I think only Ajax is the front. And I have full confidence in Milojevic that he's going to get the team rolling. I think they should get to the Europa League without any problems. The Champions League, they might need a little bit of luck, but luck follows the brave, so who knows.
And also good luck to Radnish Finiš and Chukarishki, who begin their Europa League quest on Thursday. So best of luck to them. And hopefully we can have all our clubs progressing out of the first round and progressing far into Europe this year. And it would be great. And it would be great for our coefficient. And we'll be crunching that math in future shows as well as we...
Yeah, for the second Champions League spot, which is the holy grail at this point. That's what we're chasing.
That would be amazing, and five teams in Europe would also be amazing as well, instead of four. Now, sticking to some Serbian club topics, now, soon to be, or actually starting when the league starts in August, the Linglong Superliga, as of next season, will be mandating teams to play at least two under-21 players in their starting lineup. So we've seen this similar rule in Romania recently, where they've also done this. So they're making sure that teams play two under 21 players per in the starting lineup every match as well in the league. Got a lot of negative reaction at this news in Serbia, as people are saying it's just another ploy by agents, or another ploy to sell young players and you know, to make more money for the clubs. Luka, what are your thoughts on this rule change? Do you think it's necessary, or does it seem like it's not really needed in Serbia?
I think the rule they should have put in place of that would be you can't sell a player until he's 23 years old or something along those lines, because that would have helped a lot more than mandating that you have to play two under 21 players and then you can just sell them because they have pitch time and then maybe they score a goal or get an assist here or there. I'm gonna have to agree, man. It does seem like a ploy to me for to get some of the young talent on television and into some games just so they can be sold. So that's where I'm at. I'm gonna have to think about the rule a little bit more. But you know, just initial reaction, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, and I think most of the clubs do already play players that are 21. You know, I think Zvezda. It's probably, this is the only one basically that doesn't play under 21 players every week. They do have a lot of squad depth as a result. But most clubs in the league already do that. So I think it'll be interesting for Zvezda fans to follow who plays every week, you know, which young player gets a chance here and there, and which young player can get sold first because they get a chance. So that could be interesting, but otherwise, I agree with you, Luke, on that one. It doesn't make much sense to me. Ogi, where do you stand on this new rule?
I mean, I'm more or less indifferent to it. Like you said, for the most part, a lot of these teams are playing with two U21 players anyway. You're right, though. I think the winner of this is player agents. I mean, they're salivating at this new rule, and I think it goes to say how much pull they have within the Serbian League and the Federation. So obviously, they're going to be pleased about this. And it does start in the 2020-2021 season, so kind of clubs will be able to prepare and make adjustments to their squads as necessary. But for the most part, I mean, I'm basically indifferent to it. I guess overall, though, it could be kind of positive for Serbian footy and for player development. I don't know about you guys, but I'd much rather see youngsters who we haven't seen much of kind of break through and get more playing time than, you know, random like 33-34-year-olds kind of on the decline in there. So, I mean, I guess that's the one positive spin I'd put to it. For the bigger teams, kind of like Zvezda and Partizan, I mean, it obviously can get a little bit tricky at times because these are the teams that are not obviously going to be competing for championships and for
when it comes to an important game, right? You know, if you're kind of thin in depth and don't have too many options with those younger players, it could get a little tricky in more important games. But yeah, overall, I mean, more or less indifferent to it, and I guess it could kind of be positive for player development, as I'd rather see some of these youngsters get a breakthrough than older guys who are on a decline.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for players as well, for young players to get their names out there and get a move out of the country, because let's face it, that's most of their goals is that, you know, move and get a bigger wage somewhere elsewhere. Alex, what are your thoughts on this rule? Do you think it'll have a positive impact on the league in years to come?
Well, I think that there is some value to it. I think that not every club plays with under 21 guys, so there is a little bit of value to it. It's not even so much the fact that they've implemented this rule. It's the fact that they've basically acknowledged that their league is so broken in terms of the player development. It's so broken in terms of the competition system that they've accepted the sad truth that foreign scouts only come in to scout kids that are under 20 years old, which is something that's been kind of a public secret, if you will, that nobody, if you stay in the Serbian league after 20 years old, then you're not going to be a player. Like, most of the big money transfers that have come from the Serbian league have been guys that were teenagers, basically, and they've accepted that. And that's not the way it should be. You know, Romanians have that for a different reason, because their league was in a complete disaster. They've struggled for a lot of different reasons. Their national team has been in a complete kerflux for a while, and they have a lot of very talented kids. Do we have talented kids? We do. I don't know if they're that talented. But Romanian people are more honest. You know, the agents, they're not cheating, and they're not bribed, and they're not stealing as much as our agents are. In an ideal sense, maybe it could work, but it's just a sad confirmation that the league is beyond repair. And until you have a complete new structuring of the league with like 12 or 10 teams, with, you know, a different way of bringing up players, a different system, a different function for the way the wages are paid out, if you have a different mentality in terms of the players you're producing, if you're not just producing defensive mids and center backs, if you're actually producing talented strikers and wingers, then it could work. In its current format, it's just another tool for agents to get rich, and they're accepting their own ineptitude, which is really the leitmotiv, if you will, of this whole thing, and it's disappointing. I hope that we get some new kids that come through, but I'm not holding my breath, that's for sure.
The one thing that I'm sure of is that this rule will bring plenty of scandals and controversy, as well as the, you know, fake birth certificates and guys with beards.
Those African players are suspicious anyways. Now they're going to get even more suspicious.
We're going to see some funny business in the Serbian league to get around this rule.
We don't have enough funny business already.
Yeah, I'm already ready. I'm already ready for the headlines. I can't wait. Honestly, it's going to be some hilarious stuff. And you know, at least it's never boring. There's always crazy stuff going on in the league.
It sounds like a sitcom, League Long Super League. It sounds like a really good sitcom.
it's gonna be really funny soon. Yeah. Excellent stuff. Great show today, guys. For any next week's show, if there's anything you want us to talk about or any topics that we haven't gotten to, feel free to tweet at us and let us know at SerbianFooty@twitter.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great night, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Van de Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions. Milinkovic-Savic with a belter. Oh, what a phenomenal strike. It'll push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside of the